Jesus had entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Later on that day, he overturned the banking tables and the seat of the people selling the doves. The temple required a certain silver coin for donations. They would not allow a Caesar image, but because it was of more pure silver, they wanted a Baal image. And their exchange rate, they took 12.5%. We go to the bank. Here's a $100 bill. Here's 10 tens or 5 twenties. No exchange rate. But the temple bankers would keep 12.5%, give them coins that were going to be given to the temple anyway. The temple guards did not arrest Jesus for overturning the banking tables. They had police, but they might not have liked the banking tables either. Jesus kept healing the blind and the lame. Restoring the sight in the Old Testament was a prediction of a Messiah. Lots of healing leprosies, but not so much in the Old Testament of restoring sight to the blind. In Isaiah 42, it was a prediction of the Chosen One, God's servant who would come. The chief priests and the scribes did not like Jesus talking in the temple. They come up with opposition. They did not like the children in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Again, Hosanna is "Save us, save us, save us, Son of David, royal heir of the king." Jesus would go to Bethany at night and come back to Jerusalem each day. He came back on Monday morning and he saw a fig tree with leaves but no fruit. It looked alive, but it was really dead. It looked alive, but there was no spiritual fruit. Kind of reminded him of the way the temple religion was going on. The chief priests and the elders. Elders would be what we call the Sanhedrin, or like the Senate. They didn't like Jesus' teaching. By whose authority are you doing this? Who gave you the right to say this? And Jesus answered a question with his own question. Who gave John the Baptist his authority? They were stuck. If he said John the Baptist was evil, if they said that, then the public would denounce them. If they said John the Baptist was from God, well, John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." His opposition would not answer. Jesus questioned and he would not answer and said, "I'm not going to answer your question." Now we come up to today's section where there are three parables. The three parables in Matthew 21, the beginning in verse 28, the first parable is about sons of the king, and then the next parable will be about a special son of the father who is the heir to everything. This next parable is only in Matthew. It's Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32, only in Matthew. Let's read that section, Matthew 21, 28 and following. "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted, repent, changed his mind, and went." Verse 30, "The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will go, sir,' but he did not. Which of the two sons did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John the Baptist, came to give you the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him." He's given a parable about a vineyard. Go to work in the field of grapes. Son number one answered, "I will not," but later changed his mind and went to go pick the grapes. Son number two told his dad the right thing, but lied from the first and lied all the way through. He disobeyed to start. He continued to disobey. He would not do the father's will. Even Jesus' critics answered the parable correctly. The second son is like the chief priests. They were like the elders. They said they were doing God's work with all their temple religion, but they were not going to obey God. They were not going to obey God's messenger who said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So, not believing John the Baptist and not believing Jesus and not believing he was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, they were like these who said they were doing God's work, but never did from the beginning and never did later on. This first parable is only in Matthew. The next one will be in all three, but this one is only in Matthew, and it's because tax collectors get saved. So another secondary support, who is the author of the first gospel? Well, the early church fathers say Matthew, and as we look at some of the topics he has picked, he likes to put in stories about tax collectors getting saved that are not in the other gospels. Tax collectors, again, in those days were a lot worse than now. Tax collectors in those days, they auctioned off the right to tax to the highest bidder. And so the tax collector that said, "The Romans, I will give you the most," he got the job, but whatever he could steal beyond that, the Roman authorities did nothing about it. The courts did nothing about stealing. So Matthew, the tax collector, liked stories about tax collectors doing wrong to start, but coming to Jesus and asking him to be the Savior. This next parable is in all three. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them. The word for those are synoptics, similar viewpoint, because John adds a whole lot of stuff that aren't in the other three, but the synoptics all have this one. First one, only tax collector, only Matthew. This next one now in all three, beginning at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went away on a journey. When harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. Then he sent another group of slaves larger than the first. They did the same to them. But afterward he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." They took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? Here are Jesus' critics. They said to him, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper season." Jesus gave another vineyard parable. That was number one. Here is number two. The listeners who heard him for the first time would interpret the vineyard as Israel. I saved that until we got to verse 33 because Israel as a vineyard is in Isaiah 5, and verse 33 is a quotation of Isaiah 5. So since Jesus is quoting Isaiah 5, and since they all thought of a vineyard as Israel, that is how they are going to interpret this. The temple in Jesus' day had a big, tall, golden grapevine on it, above the holy place. So maybe while Jesus is giving this parable, the listeners could see the grapevine, which stood for Israel. And in the meaning, they caught it right away. The vineyard is Israel. The servants are those who are supposed to take care of Israel spiritually. God sent him his servants. That would be the Old Testament prophets. Some they beat up. Some they killed. After sending servants over and over again and it did not work, Jesus sent his son. They will respect my son. Those tending Israel, they kill the heir, thinking they will fully possess the land. They thought if they killed Jesus, that they would have full control over religion in Israel. What will the Father do to those who kill his son? And they correctly answered, he will miserably destroy them. King James, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end. So he will miserably destroy them, King James. He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. We haven't read verse 45 yet, but verse 45 will say they knew he was talking about them. Jesus was telling them that you will kill the Son and you will be destroyed, especially the chief priests, Caiaphas and his closest friends. They were not going to be saved. They were come to a wretched end. A parallel of this Matthew 21 is in Luke 20, verse 16. And the Greek says, may it never be. English translations, God forbid. They understood Jesus' parable. Those who rejected John the Baptist and who rejected the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, they were going to kill Jesus, and they were going to come to a wretched end. May it never be. So he continues to explain that they will reject him, but they're going to get smashed. They're going to get pulverized. They're going to get ground to dust. That's verse 42 and following. And Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruit of it. Now here's getting pulverized. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Jesus is quoting Psalm 118. On Palm Sunday, the crowds cried, Psalm 118, towards Jesus, coming into the city, riding on that donkey. Hosanna, save us, save us, save us. Psalm 118 had Hosanna. Psalm 118, blessed is the one who is coming in the name of the Lord. So they had just used Psalm 118, and the children, a little bit later, had just shouted that at Jesus. Jesus said he would not silence them, or the stones will cry out. But Jesus continues to quote Psalm 118 because Psalm 118 also had, you will reject me and you will be smashed. you will be pulverized. Isaiah 53 said he would be rejected. He is despised and rejected of men. Daniel 9 predicted of the Messiah he would be cut off. Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. Psalm 118, blessed is the one coming in the name of the Lord. But also, Psalm 118, he would be rejected, and he will smash them and pulverize them. The Lord is like a cornerstone to all who believe. He is the foundation of life and truth. It's like the wise man builds his house upon the rock. On the other hand, Jesus is a stone that people will trip over. The word for tripping is scandalize. Those who think Jesus is a scandal will trip and fall. The stone of offense, 1 Peter 2:7. Some will reject. They will trip over Jesus. They will fall down, and they will be ground to dust. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. Those who will not come to the Father, they reject Jesus. They will not build their house on the rock. They will build it on the sand. And the chief priests knew they were talking about them. The kingdom will be taken from you and given to another. The temple would be stopped. There will be another worship system. Another could be the church, which will be a brand new worship system. Or another could be, when Jesus comes back, another generation of Jewish people. And a rebuilt temple. These will have fruit. They knew who he was talking about. They had no fruit. They had a bunch of leaves. They looked alive, but there was no fruit. And let's look at the close of Matthew 21. The chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables. They understood he was talking about them. They sought to seize him, but they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. These are the Sadducees arguing with him. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees were running the temple and were very, very liberal. Didn't believe in angels. Didn't believe in demons. Didn't believe that the soul lives after death. Didn't believe in the resurrection. That's coming in the next chapter. It'll be verse 23. Matthew 22:23. The Sadducees were very, very liberal. And this will be the background to the next parable, because the next parable, Jesus insists on life after death. The Sadducees didn't believe in life after death, but Jesus will insist upon life after death, and he would tell them, verse 13, you'll be thrown into outer darkness. You'll live after death. You will still exist after death, but those who deny him as Savior, which is Sadducees' listeners were going to, you will be thrown into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that will be the topic next week. The musicians, please come.